This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Hey, it's critical to be prepared throughout the hurricane season. And as a storm can strike any time, we saw this through the Tropical Storm Barry, which impacted the Gulf Coast last week. History shows that the deadliest, most powerful, and destructive storms hit later in the hurricane season, maybe in August. And I have one of my favorites on the line, Jim Cantore, the original Weather Channel storm tracker, and is frequently spotted in the most vulnerable areas. And Jim, it's a joke in my family. If you see Jim Cantore in your backyard, it is too late. So welcome to Atlanta Living.
Oh, I love it. That's where the Weather Channel is. And when I'm not living out of my suitcase, Belinda, you know I'm in Atlanta and or up in your old neck of the woods in Blue Ridge.
Yes. So we have lots of connections. So
yes, we do.
They always seem to put you right where the eye of the storm is going to be.
You know that, I don't know how it happens, Belinda, but that short straw is always, I don't know how I draw it, but I do.
You do.
It's kind of a neat thing, you know, to certainly get put out there. I appreciate the responsibility, but, you know, we like to go there and certainly get the message out so that people can prepare and get out of harm's way. And then hopefully, you know, we can get back up on TV and tell them, hey, you know what, guys, we either got the all clear or it's going to be a couple of days before you can come back.
Yeah, well, if Jim Cantore says it, I'm going to go by whatever you say. Well, first, Jim, explain, why are we seeing storms later in the season now?
I think it's a little misperception because a lot of people don't realize that the Atlantic hurricane season actually goes all the way to November 30th.
Wow.
All right. But okay. Where I think that comes from, Belinda, is if you look at Matthew, it was an October storm in 2016, had a lot of impacts in the United States, especially the Carolinas. Then, of course, we had, you know, Michael last year in October, which became a Category 5. So it was a historic storm, both by a meteorological right and also what it did, devastating Florida and, of course, South Georgia. Mm-hmm. Tremendous damage down there to agriculture, and then moved on and got tangled up with a front in North Carolina and Virginia and went on to produce 90-mile-an-hour winds again. So, you know, it was an incredible storm for late in the year. And what I'm telling everybody is, you know, look, if you looked at the atmosphere last year in October, we had no cold fronts come through. It almost felt like August in the eastern part of the country for the first 10 days of October. And the water temperatures were very, very warm in the Gulf of Mexico. So the atmosphere just said, look, if this is the stuff I got to work with, then I can produce one heck of a hurricane.
Right.
And that's pretty much what it did. This storm just developed and developed and developed, and it would have kept developing had it not run into Mexico Beach and the Port of Peña.
And I was just in Mexico Beach and Port St. Joe about a month ago, and that place is still reeling from the devastation.
Oh, yeah. And we see that with our bigger hurricanes. Like where I am here in Gulfport, Mississippi this morning. This, of course, is Camille country 50 years ago. It is Katrina country of recent, back in 2005, and 28 to 30 feet of storm surge down here. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It forever changed the Mississippi coast. But, you know, after a Katrina, after a Michael, after a Charlie, I mean, these bigger category storms, it's going to take a while. Because there really is a lot of destruction. There's a lot of infrastructure issues that have to be changed. You know, insurance is always fighting the battle.
Oh, yeah.
Is this flood or was it wind? You know, which one did it? So there's all those things going on, and that certainly makes for a slower recovery process. But don't be fooled. I was down there on the start of the hurricane season in Mexico Beach, and those folks they're raring to go. They want their beautiful beach back. And it's going to be different. They realize that.
Yeah.
But they want it back the way it was.
It is going to be better.
And I'll tell you right now, I will tell you right now, every place that I've gone that's gotten hit by a destructive hurricane has come back better. It's not the same, but it's better.
It's better.
We're better prepared for the next one.
Now, speaking of being prepared, what do we need to do? And here in Atlanta, we get the remnants of these storms that we need to be prepared in one way or another. How can we be prepared when these storms take a turn and we get the winds, the rain, and some of the devastation from it? How can we be prepared?
People forget that Atlanta and Georgia are right there, close to a major water source, whether it be the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico. We can get storm tracks that way. And if these storms are accelerating upon landfall, like we saw with Opal back in 95, we had tremendous damage in North Georgia, we can get big impacts. As a matter of fact, Linda, back in 2017, when we had Irma come across Florida, some of the earlier forecasts never weakened that, and they kept it off the coast of Florida, and they brought it right up into Atlanta as a 90-mile-hour hurricane. Now, that, of course, didn't happen. It kind of tangled with Cuba for a while and weakened. But still, I mean, we have a major threat this time of the year as well. These storms just don't go away once they hit land.
Oh, I remember Opal coming through and creating a lot of devastation.
Yeah. So you got, this is the time of the year to go to Lowe's and your favorite hardware store. A lot of times they'll section off areas, severe weather supplies, you know, hurricane supplies. And, of course, we have a severe weather risk and a winter risk in Georgia as well. So we got to be ready for pretty much everything on all seasons.
What do you have kind of your go-to list that you think that we need to have?
I mean, you know, a lot of times you can buy like whole kits with this stuff in it. Or like, you know, obviously you need to be able to see it at night.
Right.
If you lose power. So flashlights, some of these, you know, battery-powered headsets, I think, are essential. You know, you need extra cash on hand because a lot of times the power goes out. If you want to pay for something like gas or even food, should it become available to you. You know, non-perishables for 72 hours, as well as water. You need 3 gallons for each person for each day.
Wow.
So a lot of the stuff you can just store in your house and have it on hand, ready to go should disaster strike.
And I think,
and then, you know, and if I'm you, I'm taking, I've taken videos of my house to show the insurance adjuster, hey, this is what I had. This is what each room looked like. Oh, and I forget all the stuff I have in my house. It's through so many people. And it kind of reminds me of what kind of claim I would have to make should I have a disaster.
And that way you're really covered by the insurance company and nothing is forgotten.
Right. This was my, and don't do them like 1 year. You know, don't do it 5 years ago and then forget about it, because a lot of times your home changes, you make upgrades, you buy new things. You know, take one every year and just leave it on file on your phone and erase the previous one. And now you've got something very recent that nobody can argue with.
That's a good idea. And now is the time for you to go to Lowe's and stock up on these things, not, you know, when the forecast has been made by you and everybody is at Lowe's trying to pick up these items.
Right. Once the cone goes out, then everybody goes. And then now there's the frustration of now you got all these other things that you want to do or have planned, and you're in this long line waiting for things, and then they start running out of things. I mean, it's the fact that you get it done early, you put it in a big duffel bag, you leave it in a closet. All right, these are all things you can leave for 2-3 years. Yeah, the batteries need to be checked, things like that, some of the non-perishables. Water's going to last you a good length of time. But just if you have it on hand, go enjoy your summer. Go get some cool iced tea, which we really need today.
Yes,
it's hot everywhere, Belinda.
It is hot.
It's hot everywhere.
It is hot here in Atlanta. I know you're on the Gulf Coast right now, but it is hot in Atlanta today. So,
yes, ma'am.
Tell us what your predictions are for this hurricane season.
Yeah, so what I'm, you know, if you look at the rest of the season, based on the number of storms we get on average, there's still 90% of the hurricane season to go.
I know.
Okay, and I mean, think about it. We're getting into late July here. So you only have one or two usually, and we've had that. We've had Andrea and Barry, both of them lasting as hurricanes for a very small amount of time. But either way, they've come and gone. And now you start looking at August and September. When does the Atlantic Basin, the Gulf, and the Caribbean all become much more favorable for storms to develop? And it's almost like somebody flips a switch. Is that August 2nd? Is that August 15th? Is that August 30th? We really don't know when that happens, but that's when it's like, okay, now you really are potentially going to be dealing with a disaster or two down the road. Now, I'm not saying anything this year that we get is going to hit the United States. It's impossible and irresponsible, frankly, to put up any kind of goalposts at this point.
Right.
But I do think that we have the capabilities, from what I see on the basin and others, that we get an average season by the time all is said and done. And that, of course, means a ramp up of storms significantly in August and September.
From the hurricanes that you've been in the past, what one sticks out in your head the most, where you were most scared for being where you were?
The one that I'm standing in a town for, Katrina.
Katrina.
Here I am in Gulfport, Mississippi. We were in the Armed Forces Retirement Home with 475 of our heroes. And literally within 10 minutes, the water started coming in the building.
Wow.
And it, you know as well as I, all of a sudden it's not about the TV anymore. It's about getting these people upstairs. Because everybody was downstairs having breakfast. And all the medicine was downstairs. So it was, thank God, we had probably about 20 to 24 Navy CBs, which is the land-based unit of the Navy, mm-hmm. on hand to there as well to kind of help get that situation under hand. Nobody lost their life, and they completely rebuilt that place. It's like a fortress. I'm going to be honest. I would ride out a Cat 5 hurricane in the Armed Forces Retirement Home today if I had a chance to do it again. Let's hope I won't get that chance.
Let's hope you don't do it again. Thank you, Jim. Jim Cantore with the Weather Channel.
Always a pleasure, Belinda.
Always
Thank
a pleasure. Hopefully we'll run into each other soon, and I'll give your best to those in Blue Ridge.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Take care, and I hope you have a very boring hurricane season.
Well said. Well said.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB.
The WSB News and Traffic Teams will keep you updated all weekend here on 95.5 WSB. This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News. Listen first thing Monday, too, for those all-important news, weather, and traffic updates. Now back to Atlanta Living with Belinda.
Welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews, our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, food writer for Encore Magazine and his own website, bitesandsights.net. So you've got something for carnivore listeners that are really going to be excited about.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you not familiar with Brazilian steakhouses, or churrascarias is what they're called in Portuguese. This is one of the all-time great concepts for meat eaters.
Yes.
So most of them start with great cuts of meat and chicken and lamb and pork. They salt the meat, then they cook it over this rotisserie-style charcoal. And then their servers come over to the table, and you have a little disc. So if it's you turn it up to the green side, they know, okay, you're hungry for meat. They come over to the table. They slice it off. When you need a break or you've had enough, you turn it over to the other side. It's red. Stop sign. Please stop bringing me meat. So up until now, there's really been two classes of Brazilian steakhouses. There's like super upscale ones. Mm-hmm. They're a little pricey. There's a couple really good ones in Buckhead. And there's like a lot of less upscale, more economical ones around East Cobb and on Buford Highway. The new Galeto Brazilian Steakhouse, it just opened up on Mansell off 400 in Alpharetta. Sort of found the sweet spot, I think. It's a beautiful restaurant. It feels upscale. They've got an amazing salad bar. And just, I mean, salad bar is really not doing it justice. This is a smorgasbord bar with fresh mussels, seared shrimp, seared tuna, shrimp, fancy cheeses, dozens and dozens of things you can eat. You could definitely make a meal out of it. And everything is on point. Then the meat comes out, the top sirloin, lamb chops, beef ribs, filet. Everything is amazing there. I went with a Brazilian friend. He's like, dude, this is absolutely on point. So it's $44 for adults. That's all you can eat, steak and the food bar. which is a lot less than if you go to the one of the upscale ones in Buckhead. If you're not a predatory meat eater, that's okay too. That food bar alone is $36. This is a tremendous value for the quality of food and the quantity of food. So if you're a fan of the Brazilian steakhouse concept, you want the upscale experience, you don't want to pay the upscale Buckhead prices, Galetto Brazilian Steakhouse has that sizzle you're looking for.
Excellent. Where can we find you during the week?
My website is called bitesnsites.net. B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S. I have pictures of Galetto Brazilian Steakhouse. There's links there where you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Well, I can't wait to see what you bring to the table for next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Folks, don't forget, it's UGA football time. And coming your way at 3:30 is our pregame show, and followed by kickoff at 7:30. And UGA is playing Vanderbilt this weekend. So don't forget to keep that dial tuned right here to 95.5 WSB. But right now, we're talking about 12,000-pound machines capable of doing backflips, vertical two-wheel stunts, and speeds up to 70 miles per hour. Yeah, we're talking about Monster Jam. And on the phone lines, we have Gravedigger driver Kristen Anderson. And so it's a female driver for the first time driving Gravedigger. So Kristen, thanks for joining us on the line for Atlanta Living. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah. So how long have you been driving these monster trucks?
I have been competing for Monster Jam for approximately 3 years now. This is my third racing season.
This is terrible on my part. I didn't know we had female drivers in Monster Jam. I think that's awesome. And I would love, love, love to get behind the wheel of one of those for just about 15 minutes and see what happened.
It is. It's pretty cool. We have lots of females that compete in Monster Jam. I think that that's really wonderful. And, you know, we compete on the same playing field, the same trucks, the same horsepower, same everything as the guys. And we give them a run for their money. So it is. It's really cool. I'll be competing at the Infinite Energy Arena with another female driver there. It's going to be us two against the guys. So we're very power. We're very into it. It's lots of fun.
Oh, well, I'm going to be there cheering you on. This will be my first Monster Jam. I've heard about it for years, and so this will be my first one. But I'm really curious, how in the world did you get into this?
Well, my dad is actually the original Gravedigger.
Are you serious?
Yes, my dad is Dennis Anderson, the guy that used to rock the Georgia Dome for years and years and years. My brothers are Adam and Ryan Anderson. They compete at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They competed at the Georgia Dome. It was a big event. So I'm a second-generation driver. I've been involved with Gravedigger my entire life.
You know, I used to live about a quarter of a mile from the Georgia Dome 10 years ago, and you could hear it from a quarter of a mile down the road, just the energy and the engines roaring, and it sounded awesome. And you could see the lights flashing through the roof there. So I can't wait. It's going to be a spectacular weekend, and that's going to be September the 13th through the 15th. And so this truly is a competition. This is nothing is staged, is it?
No, ma'am. Nothing is staged. We are competing for points. It's how it used to be still a long time ago when we were out there doing real competition, tearing the trucks up for a live event. And we love to, you know, encourage people to come out and watch our show. We have lots of fun competing against each other, but at the end of it, you know, when we put the helmets on, we are real competitors. We want to take the guy right next to us out. So at the end of it, we're going to be crowning an event champion. And those points are actually very crucial for us, the points that we'll be getting in Georgia. They'll roll over for our world finals, and we have the an opportunity to become crowned a Monster Jam world champion, and that's the goal for us. So it is a very strenuous point series that we compete on, and it's pretty cool.
So you are true athletes. I mean, this is a strenuous thing to be behind the wheel in a Monster Jam truck.
It is, and it has become, it has gotten more and more physically demanding as the years have gone on. My dad just retired 3 years ago, and he told me, he said, "Girl, I'm so glad that you drive the trucks now, because, Lord, I can't be doing all the stuff that y'all do now." I just am too old for that. So we work out a lot. We got to stay, stay fit. We got to stay hydrated. We kind of have to treat ourselves just like any other athlete. And the trucks, we take lots of hard hits, lots of trauma. You got to prepare your body for that. You'll get muscle soreness, and you don't want to get rips and tears and stuff. It'll start wearing on your body. You got to take care of yourself. So we take care of ourselves. We got to stay mentally sharp, because we got long weekends, man. We got four shows, two shows a day sometimes, also a pit party. So it's a lot, and we got to keep up if we want to be good competitors.
Now, if no one has seen the show, you're actually going over these huge dirt mounds. I mean, y'all are, sometimes running into each other. You are going up to 70 miles per hour. You're up on two wheels sometimes up on one wheel, sometimes rolling over. Have you ever gotten really hurt?
No, I haven't suffered any injuries. My dad can attest to it. Long time ago, he's got his fair share of war stories, and my brothers. But I got really I'm lucky enough that I have some of the top of the line racing equipment. I have a ISP seat that's completely conformed for me. It's a full containment. I have a 7-point harness, a head and neck restraint like they use in NASCAR. So I'm in there very, very tight. I haven't gotten any injuries. I mean, like I said, they are big, powerful machines. You can, get a little soreness if you don't stretch before the show, or if you're not properly hydrated and stuff. But we try to take care of ourselves for each and every show. And they do crash, but our trucks are reinforced and they're made for it. And people love to see, they love the carnage. They love to see the trucks crash. That's about their favorite part. I mean, it don't matter. I could be out there holding the truck up on its nose, doing a nose wheelie, doing a moonwalk for 2 minutes, and they are way more excited to see a truck crash than it do a backflip or anything like that. So they're pretty good.
It is such a spectator sport, and I know that tickets fly out the window because people of all ages love to see Monster Jam. I mean, here at the radio station, that's one of the highly sought after things is Monster Jam tickets. How do people go about getting tickets?
Well, you can purchase tickets at monsterjam.com. You can get them at Ticketmaster, or you can even purchase them at the box office. And we also do a pit party before the 1 o'clock show on Saturday and the show on Sunday. So you'll be able to come down for about an hour and a half before the show starts, get to meet me, the other drivers, see the truck, come down on the dirt. So wear your dirty shoes. And it's really cool. And I'm actually pretty excited to be out here in Georgia, just because my family has so much history here. There's so many people, like you were saying, we have so many fans of all different age groups. We cater to all the age groups, and I'm so excited to see the fans that watched my dad tear up the Georgia Dome years and years and years ago, because he put on some of the best performances of his life. His 30th anniversary came out, tore up the Georgia Dome. People still talk about that, so I'm excited to come out and meet his fans and, meet their kids, and it's pretty cool that my family gets to compete, for our families. It's second-generation fans getting to meet my dad's second-generation drivers, so I'm very excited.
That's great that you have such a racing legacy in the family of your dad and your brothers, and now you're carrying on doing that. How do you prepare for a race? Is there a special meal that you have? Is there something that you do before each race?
I try to kind of keep it cool. Keep it cool, calm, and relaxed. Kind of keep things light. Some people can get a little wrapped up in it, and I do like to stay focused. I like to check the dirt out. I'm not sure what kind of dirt y'all are going to be hauling into the
red clay.
I assumed it was going to be some red Georgia clay, so I like to go out on the track, kind of meet the monster a little bit, what the track conditions are going to be like, when the clay comes in, if it's going to be wet, if it's going to be rained on, if it's going to be dry, if it's going to be falling apart, what kind of debris is going to be in it. So that all factors out to how well we can perform in the truck. So I like to kind of get to know the track a little bit, see what kind of space I got. I call my dad, my dad always gets my head in the right spot. And then after that, I kind of kind of try to keep it light, kind of stay relaxed. If you get too wound tight and too caught up in the competition, you make more mistakes. So I like to come out, keep it light, have fun, listen to some music, interact with the fans, stuff like that. So interacting with the fans is really what gets me amped up, because we're out here. I mean, I'm out here as a competitor. I want to compete. I want to win. But I want to put on a good show for all of our people that come out to see the show. That's what my dad did for years. He delivered. He always delivered at the Georgia Dome. People love to come back and see Dennis Anderson year after year. And I want people to come to the Infinite Energy Arena and want to see Kristen Anderson year after year.
That, well, definitely, you are going to be something to watch out for in this race, this competition, for sure. Now, do you specifically try to go up on the back two wheels or the front two wheels or one wheel, or is this just something that happens naturally as you're going through the course?
No, we actually have a whole competition. So we're going to have six competitions that we're going to be doing at the Infinite Energy Arena and for the Triple Threat Series. And one of our competitions is completely dedicated just to putting the truck on two wheels. It's called the Two Wheel Skills Competition. And the crowd, we actually have our fan interaction the most with these judge competitions, mm-hmm. because the crowd actually goes on their phones, on your smartphones. You go to judgeszone.com, you put in your city code, and you guys actually score us on a scale from 1 to 10 on how cool you thought our two wheel skills trick was. So I'm going to get three opportunities to put the truck on two wheels. Usually I like to, I don't want to give away all my secrets, because
okay.
I want people to come out and see, but you know, we're working on putting them on the nose, balance them on the rear end. I mean, they're 25 feet tall. They are 12,000 pounds. They are very difficult to move around. They're 25 feet tall when they stand from nose to tail. They're 12 foot tall when you're standing from the tires to the hood. So when you see a monster truck doing a wheelie, it's doing a 25 foot tall, 1500 horsepower wheelie. So it's impressive.
I can't even do a wheelie on a bicycle, Kristen, so I can't imagine doing it with a 12,000-pound vehicle. Well, we can't wait to see you at the Infinite Energy Arena September the 13th through the 15th. Tickets are on sale now. You want to give those locations again, Kristen?
You can go to monsterjam.com and purchase your tickets. You can get them on Ticketmaster. You can come out to the box office. We'll be giving giveaways as the week gets closer, you know, to the event, getting closer to the 13th and the 15th, so keep an ear out. But I think it's going to be cool, and I encourage people to come out, because like I said, we've got a show on Friday, we've got two on Saturday and one on Sunday. And if you can come on down to the pit party, get to meet the drivers, get to see these trucks up close. If you haven't had an opportunity to see a monster truck up close, I think you're going to be very, very impressed when you stand next to them. Our tires are 5 feet tall. I'm about 5'6" or 5'7", so I just barely can look over the tires, so it's impressive.
Well, it's going to be a show not to miss, and of course, our favorite driver here on Atlanta Living is Kristen Anderson with driving the Gravedigger. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.
This is Scott Slade. Join me every morning this week for Atlanta's Morning News on 95.5 WSB. Triple team traffic every 6 minutes for your morning commute. Now back to Belinda Skelton and Atlanta Living on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews, our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website BitesAndSights.net. So, downtown Atlanta restaurant staple has gotten a makeover.
Yeah, for those of you who know about the Marriott Marquis,
yeah.
It's one of the most interesting pieces of architecture in the city. They have this atrium that is just jaw-dropping. It's just mesmerizing. It's worth a visit just to see mm-hmm. this atrium. But the hotel's always been kind of forward-thinking, and I've really always liked their in-house restaurant. It's called Sear. And if I was going downtown for a ball game or a concert, it was really a good option. But now it's had an extensive renovation. It's even better. So this is an example of being in a big hotel, but you don't really feel like it when you're inside the restaurant. The new version, it feels very rustic, kind of farm-like, and they work really hard to source local purveyors like Joyce Farms, Thompson Farms. They use this local butter called Banner Butter that's unbelievable. The honey that's used in some of the dishes and cocktails actually comes from 50,000 working bees.
Oh my.
They live on top of the hotel.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious. So This is Sear. This is downtown Marriott Marquis. The menu is fire-inspired. It's kind of wood-fired stuff. Mm-hmm. They do a butter-basted cauliflower steak that I thought was amazing. Braised pork chops, dry-aged steaks, and seared scallops. So you could pair that with one of 25 bourbons they have on their list, and they have a very solid wine list. So next time you're downtown, if you're looking for something really cool, a cool experience, they're open for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Take in that jaw-dropping atrium at the Marriott Marquis and check out Sear. It's just redone. Other little pro tip, your parking is validated there if you eat. So if you're up to walking to State Farm or Mercedes-Benz Stadium or you got something going downtown, park it and have a great meal at Sear and then get validated. So
bonus.
Check that out. Yes.
Where can we find you during the week, baby?
I've got links and I've got some photos of this at my website, which is bitesnsites.net. B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S.net.
Well, as always, I can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.